Many new faces, eh? Yeah, the Lord is good. Sure. No. Amen. Yeah, okay. Let's pray that the Lord just settles our hearts. We can hear from Him. Father, thank You. We come before You. We just say, Lord, You're wonderful. You're gracious, Lord. You're holy. You're worthy. You're so true. Lord, without You, we're nothing, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, that we're nothing, Lord. Let us never deceive ourselves to think we're something, Lord. Let us rejoice in You. Put no confidence in the flesh. God, stir our hearts to righteousness. Stir our hearts to true holiness. That we would long to walk with Thee in white, Lord. That we would long to dwell with Thee. Father, we need You. Help us keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Father, may You do the work in the hearts of men and women that only You can do. And prepare people for our God. So when You come back, You'll find faith in the earth, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Bless Your name. Bless Your name. We love You. Love You, Lord. Let it be so. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Check, check. Okay. This is strange. I'm not used to this, so forbear with me. I'm not used to being up on a platform and lots of people. So in South Africa, we, by the grace of God, a little over a year ago, the Lord formed a little body of believers. It was actually a little over 2.5 years ago, we started a Bible study, and then we started meeting on Sunday mornings. God provided a place for us to meet. And it's a small group, but the Lord's been faithful with us. America is a different land. It's a different land. Yeah. If you're ever able to, I would encourage you to travel to some other places and see and think and meditate and be still and seek the Lord's face in prayer, because it's a big world. And there's a lot of people with a lot of need. And, That land where I've been is, it's a dry and thirsty land. I keep reading about in the Psalms. David talks about the dry and thirsty land where there's no water, the wilderness. It goes to South Africa. And, just tell you, people need Jesus Christ. They need the truth of God's Word. They need to hear the truth about who the true and living God is. He's been reduced. He's been twisted and changed. He hasn't really been. It's just how they represent Him. He's the same. And He changes not. I am the Lord. I change not. Amen. He's faithful and true. But if God would light a fire in your heart, you want your life to count for Jesus Christ, and you'd like to serve Him with everything you have, may God give you the grace to send you and to preach His name among the heathen. I'm going to tell you what, He's a mighty King, and His name is dreadful among the heathen. When you're sent by the Spirit of the living God, and you are empowered by His grace and His Spirit, and you have no alternative agenda, no alternate agenda. You're not looking for your own. You're not looking for a good life for yourself or your family. You're just looking to be true to the One who sent you. I tell you, He shows Himself very strong. Very strong. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, willing to show Himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. And so we need. We need to set our heart aright to the living God. He's alive. He's real. And we don't need health care, and we don't need all these other things to prop us up. Jesus Christ said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profits nothing. I'm telling you, there's no eternal spiritual profit in the things of the flesh. The power is in the Spirit of the living God. It bears testimony to Jesus Christ in the words of truth. He's faithful and true. So, I've experienced a lot over there. I wasn't intending on sharing with you this Sunday. Just praying about really honestly, when I came back, I just said, Lord, please, you open the doors that you want opened, and you shut the doors that you want shut. Pray that you would connect me with the people you want me connected with, spend time with the people who need to spend time with, and anybody else. We don't want to waste our time. So yeah, my dad asked me if I'd preach. And so I really didn't know what to preach, but I trust God. He's always faithful. I went to bed last night, didn't have any plan, but I don't need a plan. The Lord is faithful. And he woke me up at 2 a.m., but I'm used to that. Don't worry. We got 4 kids, so 6 and under. We're used to that. You don't need sleep. It's just, you know, it's overrated. You find out. Once you start walking in the Spirit, man, those other things are overrated. So he woke me up at 2 a.m. and gave me a couple scriptures. Just meditated on them. And then he just put this in my heart. Just said, preach my name. Preach my name. So we're going to go to Psalm 22. But I want to preach the name of the everlasting God. And, yeah, he's glorious. He's glorious. Fearful in praises. Wonderful in all his works. The God of the whole earth. Psalm 22. It's a wonderful psalm. One of the great prophetic psalms in the Old Testament about the sufferings that had to come first before the glory that would be revealed. And this is revealing Jesus Christ crucified. What a humble king. What a humble king. And we know that when Christ was crucified, he was not defeated, but he was victorious. This is why we must not judge according to appearance. We must learn by the grace and Spirit of God to judge righteous judgment. Because sometimes things appear to be one way, but actually something completely different. Like the whole COVID pandemic and the lockdowns. You know, if you judged according to appearance, according to the flesh, you might have been very frustrated, you might have been very angry, you might have been very resentful. But if you judged according to righteous judgment, you'd have seen the grace of God. And what a move of the living God. God shifted so many things during that time back to where they're supposed to be. Many of us were wandering sheep, and sometimes we kind of lose our way. We don't even realize it. And through this thing, he was so faithful to get the ones who really want to serve him and be true to him back on track in the lane that we need to be so that we can be that vessel that can bear his name to the Gentiles. And man, I saw God do more in COVID than I've ever seen in my previous 20 years of walking with Jesus Christ. I mean, the miracles and the things that God came through are just amazing. People sitting at home whining and complaining, we can't have church. I was having church 9 times a week. I've never had so much church in my life as during COVID. You see, so listen, God wasn't caught off guard. You think he didn't see that was coming? You think he didn't have his hand in that thing? So when we're sitting there griping against the government, we're not getting it. We're not getting it. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I'll be exalted. I'm telling you, he will be exalted. He already has been exalted, but he'll get to the place where the entire earth is filled with his glory. And so Jesus looked like he was being defeated, but he was actually victorious. He was through death, destroying him that had the power of death. He was taking the enemy in his own devices. And in verse 21, he said, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, the one who would come, who would take away the power of sin, take away the power of Satan, take away the power of death, and then he would rise to newness of life, lift up his hand to heaven and say, I live forever. And then he said, I'll declare thy name in the midst of the congregation. Okay? Jesus Christ, he came to accomplish many things. There wasn't just one thing he had to accomplish. He had many things he had to fulfill. But one of the things he had to do was he had to declare the name of the true and living God to those whom the Father had called and chosen and drawn to Jesus Christ. Let's go to Psalm 78. Now listen, these scriptures that I'm going to give you, they're not necessarily in order. These are just as they came to me in the morning. I just sat and just wrote. And so just going to go through a bunch of scriptures. But we need to know who our God is. And need to give him the honor he's due. Psalm 78 is a wonderful psalm. And it's talking about the deliverance God had for Israel, but how the father's generation, they were stubborn and rebellious, and they wouldn't set their hearts aright. Their spirit was not steadfast with God. So they're always whining and complaining and moaning and groping, and never had that peace of God. No matter how much God did for them, it was never sufficient. And in verse 40, it says, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. That's his name. He's the Holy One of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 23. The Holy One of Israel. I want you to get that. God called Israel to be his people. And he called them to be holy. He said, be holy as I am holy. You can't walk and dwell with me and live in sin and uncleanness and defilement. See, called them to himself. But let's understand where holiness comes from. Let's understand who the Holy One is, whereby we may become holy. There was only one, the Holy One of Israel. And through him, they could become holy. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Amen. Listen, God created man upright. He created man in his image. He created man to live and do what was right in God's eyes. That's what he created man to do. And the way you do right is by submitting yourself and obeying what God says, what he commands. Now, we know what happened in the garden. We know that woman and man turned aside out of the way unto disobedience, not obeying what God said, and sin entered the world, and death by sin. So the wages of sin is death. Sin always leads to death. But God didn't want man to die. God's got a better plan. He wants man to live forever with him. So how can man live forever? Man needs to be made righteous. But how is man going to be righteous? Come on. You can't make up your own righteousness. The scripture says every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Everybody can justify themselves. It never ceases to amaze me. I'm telling you, for the first year and a half during COVID, I was in homeless shelters working with men and women who were drug addicts and drunks and just complete wrecks of life. And it just never ceases to amaze me, no matter where you go. Everybody, though, overall, they're a good person, and they can always find someone else who's worse and point them out. And they can justify anything and everything. It's kind of neat. I can't tell how many people I meet. I don't even say a word. I just stand there and look at them, and they just start confessing all their sins. I'm not even lying. They just start confessing their sins, and then all of a sudden, then they start justifying it. So first they're confessing it, and then they're starting to try and explain why it's okay. Listen. God did not create men and women to harbor sin and harbor wickedness and harbor evil. It's going to destroy you. God created us to live right and clean and pure. That's what leads to life. But let's understand where righteousness comes from. It doesn't come from ourselves. You can't make up your own righteousness. You can't make up your own church or your own religion or your own system or your own whatever. No. When Judah and Israel saved and they dwell safely, it's because they've returned to the Lord. And they go, the Lord our righteousness. Amen? And then look at what he said, what he's calling the next verse. Verse 7, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. He's the Lord our righteousness, because he's the Lord who liveth. He's the living God. Okay? This isn't just a book, as my dad was teaching. This isn't just a book of historical truth. Yes, this was written by men who had the Spirit of God, and they wrote accurately the things that happened. But that's not all this thing is. These men were filled with the Spirit of the living God, the God who's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who sees all things from all time, and he would inspire these men and reveal things that are going to come to pass in the end days. And this book is just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. It's just as real and powerful today because our God is the Lord who liveth. Amen? Listen, when I went into South Africa, I knew that Jesus Christ was the bread of life. I knew that. John 6:35. I knew it. I could quote it. I could tell you. I could teach about it. But when I was out there and I didn't know anybody, and the few people I did know turned against me, let me tell you something. Jesus became my bread of life. I didn't just know that Jesus was the bread of life, but he became my bread of life. I literally survived. I literally existed because of Jesus Christ. He was my strength every day to continue and to press forward and to not turn back and to not give up. It was Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's living. The Lord who liveth. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. Oh, he's wonderful. When I was a kid, I used to worship football. Yeah, they're not very good God. I'll tell you what, I tried that. They'll fail you. But actually, it was the grace of God. I thank God that I was born and raised in Buffalo and not in Boston. Because if my gods had, you know, seemed to win for me, you know, I might have been part of the strong delusion of Boston, Massachusetts, believing the lie. Thank God I was raised in Buffalo. That's why there's still hope for people in Buffalo, because their gods have never won. They've never even come close. So, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I know some of you are still secretly holding out, but you need to repent. You need to repent and worship the living God, okay? I'm telling you right now. I used to worship football, and I used to worship all the sports stars, and I don't think I ever really worshiped movie stars, but I worship football. And I believed in God in the sense I knew he was real. I never doubted him, but I didn't know him. And God had to expose my sin to me and reveal to me, Adam, you're an idolater. You don't know me. You go to church and it's fun, it's exciting, you learn some new information, take notes, and you feel really cool or something. But your heart is not with me. When that football game's going, and when that book's being, you're running for the football, it ain't even close. Because football had my heart, not Jesus Christ. Not Jesus Christ. So anyways, I don't know where that came from, but Genesis 14. Let these sayings sink deep into your ears. Genesis 14, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Jesus. Come on, doesn't that stir your heart? Don't you want to be a priest of the Most High God? I had so many dreams and ideas and notions in the past, trying to, and it never worked out. It was always emptiness. It was always frustration. It was hate. It was pride. It was bitterness. Man, when the Lord calls you to himself, and you finally just surrender, You just leave it all. You face your greatest fears, but you fear God more than those fears. And you just trust Him and you press in. Oh, to be a priest of the Most High God. There's nothing better. Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God. Verse 19, and he blessed him. He blessed Abram, and he said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. See, there's only one true God. Amen? There's only one true God. But the truth is, there's lots of spirit beings. Okay? And there's lots of angels and principalities and powers and authorities. And there's good ones that are still walking in the light with the living God. But there are rebel spirit beings that have departed. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever and ever. And so you have to understand, there are gods. And the world worshipped gods and made these gods. And they weren't really gods, but they were demons. They were devils. They were unclean spirits. Principalities and powers. But this priest, he didn't mess around with those other things. He didn't mess around with those saints. He didn't mess around with those other names. He was a priest of the Most High God. Because there's one that sits above all. And he is the possessor, not just the creator, but the possessor of heaven and earth. He owns heaven and earth. He says, am I a God afar off? Am not I a God at hand? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Chapter 15. And Abram was a man that the Most High God had called to himself. And Abram responded to the call. And he separated himself unto the Lord. And he followed the Lord. And he walked with the Lord. And he got to the point where he didn't want anything that didn't come from God. He wanted nothing that came from God. He didn't care how rich the person was. He didn't care how much they had. If it's not from the Lord, I don't want it. And he wouldn't take the treasures of wickedness from this wicked king who tried to give him this stuff. And in Genesis 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Listen, let me tell you something. South Africa is known as a pretty dangerous country. A lot of violence. I have never once been even close to being touched. The Lord has sent me to some of the most dangerous places in that country. I didn't even know. The one time, it was literally, I was just trying to meet a guy, and God directed me, and I was right in the heart of one of the most dangerous areas of the city, and I had a big stack of cash in my pocket because I was going to bless this guy with money, and he's our shield. He's our shield. There's this one old town, old city, and they used to tell me, in fact, I met a pastor down there, he said, listen, brother, at night, because I used to go down there at night, and I would meet him, his church would meet every single night. Every single night, their church would meet, and he would let me preach. I was the first person, he said, you're the first person I ever met who the Spirit of God told me you can preach in the church. He said, all these other pastors are preaching all this junk, all this nonsense, you're the first one. He was a black brother from DRC. And so I used to go down there, nighttime, dark, preach. And they used to tell me, you don't stop when the light turns red. Don't stop. You just keep going, okay? So yeah, people, they're trying to help you and they're trying to prepare you, but sometimes they're instilling fear in you, you know? They don't intend to, so they mean well. And they just fly through the city and, like, there's people all over the place. You just get through, you know? And the one night, the Lord sent me, he said, go down to Verena. So I'm driving down there. And I'm driving, and there's a big bar sports club, and he park, go in there, preach the gospel. I go, God, I can't do that. People are telling me this is the most dangerous area. And so I'm trying, and I tried to get out of it. I did about six loops. I just kept going. I'm going, no, God, I can't do this. And I finally go, you know what? What am I scared of, Lord? If you're with me, you know, like, it's okay. And as soon as I surrender, the Lord just, they're not going to touch you. Don't worry. I got you. I just pulled over, boom, stopped, grabbed a bunch of tracks, went to the bouncer. Said, listen, I'm here to pass these out, tell the people in here about Jesus Christ. He said, go in, no problem. Go in, just preach the gospel, passing out tracts, have some good witnesses. And you know what you find out? It's just a bunch of lost, lonely people with an empty life. Nothing to be afraid of. People who need Jesus Christ. Now I'm telling you, He is our shield. When you go in the name of the Most High God, when you're sent by the living King of heaven and earth, He is your shield. And unless He tells them that they can touch you, they're not going to touch you. But if He does, well, then He's going to give you the grace to endure it, right? Come on. I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He's our exceeding great reward. I'm going to tell you something that there's no one like the Lord. There's no greater reward you could gain in heaven or earth than to gain Him. Paul, he had been serving Christ for I don't know how many years, and he's in prison, but he's still going, I want to know Him. I want to win Him. I want to be found in Him. He goes, I want to be made conformable to His death. I want to feel what it feels, what Jesus felt on the cross. I want to feel because I want to know Him. Remember, one of the keys to the relationship, in order to have a relationship, you have to be able to relate. It's kind of hard to relate to Jesus if you're living nothing like Jesus. You want to really get to know Jesus, you got to start walking in the footsteps of Jesus. You want to know the living God, you got to start submitting and coming into the Son. We're going to look at this. A relationship can only go as deep as you're able to relate one to another. And Paul goes, I want to know Him. I've never met anybody like Jesus Christ. Come on, I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings so I can know the power of His resurrection. I'm telling you, there's joy in sufferings. America's been lied to. You've been lied to. This idea that more comfort, more luxury, more ease on the flesh is the key to life, you've been lied to. You've been lied to. Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. Are you going to believe what Christ said? Are you going to believe what your mind is telling you? No, He's our exceeding great reward. When we went to South Africa, we went in faith. I didn't go around and raise a bunch of support. I've never really felt, I don't know how to say it. I've never felt persuaded that was what I was supposed to do. You know, just the churches that knew me, we shared the work. And when we went there, we had $500 a month is what we had. And there was nothing else. But I knew God was going to give me a job there. I got there January 11th. We arrive. The school term had just started. The way they run their schools there is they run it like a normal calendar year. It runs from January to December. That's their school year. So it doesn't start in September. It starts in January. So when I got there, we prayed the first week. I waited. I'm not rushing into anything. I'm not going to try and make anything happen. We just pray. We wait. Okay. Lord says, okay, go. Starts passing out my CVs to some different schools. Every school I go to, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. But all the positions are filled. The school year just started. So we got $500 a month, and that's it. And we live in a little square, you know, little square thing. And it's me and Adelaide and Hannah. But we never lacked. We never suffered hunger. And within 2 months, a school calls me up. Their ninth grade class in the first 2 months had grown so much, and they had this extra, it was called Advanced Training Center. It was something where they would, kids who had dropped out of high school, and they'd try and help them get a diploma. It grew so much in the first 2 months. They needed another teacher. I dropped my CV off there. They call me. They need someone who specializes in math and science. And literally on that day, I'd been walking the roads. We're out in the felt, you know, just out in the boonies and just walking. And I would just walk. And wherever there was an open gate. So South Africa is a different land. Everything is gated. Everything is walled. It's a land of thieves and robbers. It's a land of vagabonds. So it's not like this. So coming back here is kind of shocking. Like everything's just open and it's like, it's not like that there. So, and especially out in these rural areas, sometimes these are the most dangerous because they're like out far away. And so everybody's gated and walled, but sometimes the gate's open. And so I was just, wherever there was an open door, just go in and just knock on the door, share the gospel. So I'm just walking. And then I met a homeless guy, took him, gave him a ride to some township, and it was hectic. And we're in there, and that's when I got the call. Principal calls me, Mr. Caesar, you know, is there blah, 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 come in. Within 2 months, got a job, and the Lord provided. He provided. Now look, it was at a Christian school where we didn't make much money. And so, but it's okay. It's not about money. It's okay. It's about serving the Lord and being in His will. And God opened doors into many students' lives. In fact, it's a Christian school, But they didn't even have any Bible studies. They didn't have any Bible classes. They didn't have any. So I was able to start Bible studies for every single age group. I was able to through the devotions, start getting kids hearing the Word of God, people getting on fire for the Lord. So the Lord was faithful. He used that open door. And then at the end of 2019, I think it's time for me to resign. And I actually put in my resignation, but I wasn't sure. So I went back on it. I just thought, I want to be 100% sure. So I went and I talked to him and not sure. And so the plan was I was going to come back 2020. When I came back in 2020 to the school the first day, it was like the whole thing looked different. I don't even know how to describe it. Something had changed. Something wasn't right. And I just knew I'm not supposed to be at this place. Time's up. So prayed with Hannah. We talked about it. And the Lord's been faithful with Hannah and I. Every time we have any major decision, we pray and God always gives us the same mind. He's been faithful, always gives us the same mind. So we pray, perfect peace. Yes, I'm supposed to resign. Handed my resignation for the end of March 2020. Okay? That's the end of the first semester, is end of March 2020. So we hand in the resignation, and then all this COVID thing starts coming and the news of the lockdown. And I get out of the school just in time. I'm out. I'm out from the school system. I'm free. And people are going, Adam, oh, you should have kept your job. You could have been paid for doing nothing. I'm going, no, this is God. There's something happening. I want to be in on it, okay? And so God released me. And we had, there's no way to support us. And now everything's in lockdown. What are you going to do, But he said, fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And let me tell you, 2 years later, 2 years later after that, we have more money, we have more provision, we have more ministry, we have more going on than I ever had when I was working my job before. Listen, God knows what you need. God will provide for you. And God opened doors during the level 5 lockdown into 4 different homeless shelters. I never had a permit. I never had nothing. He sent me. I just went in faith. Every single one opened their doors to me and said, please come back, Pastor Caesar. We need you. We need you here. He just opened doors for just ministering to people through the whole thing. God is faithful. And I'm telling you, the greatest reward is to walk with Him. He is our reward. And look at chapter 17, Genesis 17. Telling you. Jesus said, I wish you're hot or cold. I wish you were hot or cold. Let's not be lukewarm. Let's be on fire. Amen. Let's be on fire. Stir that fire up. Genesis 17 and verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. He's not only just the Most High. He's not only a great shield and a great reward. But He is the Almighty. Now, if you search the word might, to understand what the word might is and how it's used in the King James Bible, might is like, it's almost like strength, but it's like strength to overcome. It's strength to break through. It's strength to conquer the enemies, okay? That's how the word might is predominantly used. And, we just got to get this thing straight. We got to get this thing straight. Please, Lord, sink this into our hearts and our minds and our spirits and our souls that we would receive this. The world, the flesh, the devil, the lies, the lying spirits, whatever it is. Okay, we got real enemies. But you gotta understand that our God is greater. You've got and not just on Sunday when we're all gathered together, but 24/7, He is the Almighty God. Jesus Christ did not come so that we could stay helpless and we could stay hopeless and we could stay trapped in sin and trapped under the power of the enemy. He goes, I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Listen, you got to understand, God is a perfectionist. He requires perfection. Heaven is perfect. And He will not drop His standard 1 inch to accommodate anybody. He can't drop the standard 1 inch. Jesus Christ said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's a command of Jesus Christ. We must obey. We must believe, receive, and obey the command of Jesus Christ. You go, I can't be perfect. I don't have the strength. No. We didn't say you have the strength in yourself. We said we have the strength in ourselves. This isn't coming from us. We are not the source. He says, I am the Almighty God. If you'll just walk before me, watch me work, and you'll be perfect. He will make us into what we need to be to fulfill everything He set before us in this life. Some people sometimes think, oh, I missed out, and I should have done this, or should have done that, or that ship sailed. Listen, the Scripture says that if you'll fear the Lord, and if you'll trust Him, even in your old age, you can bring forth good fruit for Jesus Christ. You can fulfill the things that He set before you to fulfill. I'm telling you. But you got to believe He's almighty. He's more powerful than my flesh. He's more powerful than the devil. He's more powerful than the temptations. He is the Almighty God, and He calls us to walk before Him. Amen? He's faithful. I'm telling you, He's faithful. I can't tell you how many things, Exodus 3, how many things that I never thought I would get victory over. Never. You don't even think it's possible that the Lord has given me victory over. Sins, temptations, lusts, uncleanness, things like that, things that you think it's not even possible. Sometimes you think this is what it means to be a man. No. That's what it means to be an ungodly man. That's not what it means to be a godly man. He is the Almighty God, and He gives absolute, complete victory. That's who He is. Exodus 3. And He calls us to walk with Him. Exodus 3. This is when God called Moses. Verse 13. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is His name? What's His name? Who is this God? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. So. What's His name? I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Do you see that? One thing I love about the true God, one thing I love about Jesus Christ, it's all centered around Him. It's not about us. You know how liberating that is? When I was in sin and I was in uncleanness and I was an idolater, my whole life was about me. I was stuck in myself and all my things and all the things I wish I could have and I wasn't having and all this junk. You know how liberating it is to be free from yourself? Man, when Jesus appeared to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos, John drops like a dead man at His feet. And Jesus doesn't go, Oh man, John, you're my boy. I love you. I got a great plan for your life. No. He goes, Fear not. I am He. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen? When Jesus is preaching, He's not going, You guys are amazing. God loves you. Got a great plan. He's going to do something wonderful with you. He's going, No, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. Well, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Look, it all starts with Him. And when Moses is going, Who am I going to say? He goes, I am. It's enough. I am. All sufficient. He's the all sufficient God. It's not past, present, or future. It's just I am. He's past, present, and future. He's everything. I'm telling you, I've found Him to be everything that you need. I'm telling you, you don't need sleep. You need Him. You need the I am. You don't need food. You need Him. You need the I am. You don't need sports and entertainment. You need Him, the I am. He is what's all sufficient. The things that your flesh and your mind are telling you that you need are a lie. And it's time to reject the lie and to believe the truth. Because the truth is what leads to freedom. Jesus Christ said, if you'll continue in not your word, not your pastor's word, not your preacher's word, if you'll continue in my word, that's Christ's word, then you'll be my disciples indeed. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And guess what? The truth isn't a thing. The truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the truth. as you continue in Christ's word, he doesn't just hand you truth and you just know. He opens up himself and he reveals himself to you. And in revealing himself to you, that's where freedom comes. Because if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. You got to face those lies. It's time for men, especially. We can't expect our wives to keep leading the way. The queen's dead, okay? The queen's dead. It's done. It's done, okay? The time in the West where the women have reigned and they've had the control and seat of authority, it's done. Now look, God was merciful. Because a lot of us, we were rebellious and we didn't honor our mothers. And listen, if you don't honor your mother, there's things you're going to be hindered in later in life. You have to honor your father and your mother. It's always easier to honor your father. To honor your mother sometimes is difficult. And so the Lord was merciful. He gave a long time for us to figure it out. Let that woman sit on the throne for a long time. But time's up. Men are back in charge now. Men are back in charge. Now let me tell you, that's for good and evil. That's for good and evil, okay? Setting up for man, okay? So if you're a man who's been... Have you not noticed something? I don't know if you notice this, but I've noticed this. It seems like people who are 55 and under, maybe 50 and under, I'm not going to give the exact. How long was the queen in power? Maybe that would... So, okay, I don't want to say that, but something happened where I've noticed the men 55 and under or something, we're not really men. We're like still boys or something. I don't know what happened. And really, over the last year, I've been going, God, please, please, I want to become a man. I don't know what this thing is. Why are we still like boys? What happened? Something, there was not a passing of the torch. Something didn't happen right, okay? And I'm going, please, God. But I don't want to just be a man. I want to be a man of God. I know I don't have what it takes. I want to be of you. I want to be true to you. Please, Lord. And the queen, she's gone now. It's time. And so for those who've been longing to be true to Jesus Christ and step up and fulfill what God has set before them to fulfill, it's time. This is it. It's time for men to face the lies, all the childish things that many men have still played with for way too long. To put those things away and face them like men. But not men in pride, not men in arrogance. There was a generation before us that did it. They conquered things in their pride and in their strength and in their arrogance. And it wrought no fruit to perfection. No, we're talking about facing those things, submitted on our knees before the Father of glory, the Father of spirits, and facing those things of the flesh and cutting them off. Paul says you need to mortify these things. You need to put them to death. Listen, there's something about God created a men. And the only way a man can really become a true man is through him. That's literally how he designed us. Anything else is a deviation. It's off the mark. It might appear to be a man, but it's not a real man. Okay? You want to be a real man? It's going to only be through his power. That's how he made it. That's how he made it. And if you're sick of your wives and your children being trapped and in bondage to fears and confusion and all these griefs and bitternesses, well, stop looking at them. Start looking at Jesus Christ. And start facing those things one at a time. Start facing them one at a time. And start trusting the Word of God. And not believing the lies that is being whispered in your mind. Put those things to death, I tell you. He says, I am that I am. I'm all you need. It's me. Amen. Chapter 6. Yeah, Exodus 6. Chapter 6. Jehovah. Yeah. Chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I want you to understand something real quick. If, let's say, a football. If you wanted to become a great football player, and you're always competing against 5- and 6-year-olds, how good are you going to be? See, what makes somebody the greatest or great is their ability to overcome and conquer a great adversary, a great enemy. So a lot of times people go, well, if God's so good and God's so loving, why did he let Satan in the garden? You know, why didn't he just take him away? Well, see, that's the point, is God is so good and He is so loving, and He doesn't want a bunch of sissified men. Okay, so God left a great opponent on the earth. In fact, the greatest adversary that there ever could be. He left him on the earth because He gave us what we need to overcome that enemy so we could be victorious in Christ. You understand? For us to become what we need to become, we need a great enemy. And He left him. But He said, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't fear him. Don't fear him. Now look, if you try to fight this in your own power, you're not going to make it. Look, God raised up a great enemy for Israel, Pharaoh. I mean a hardened, prideful, arrogant, wouldn't budge for anything kind of man. But God's going to show who God is. He's going to show who's in charge. You understand? So come on. If the obstacles and the challenges start getting greater and greater, go, come on. Come on, Lord. You're going to show yourself strong here. Come on, stir me up, Lord. I know by your grace we can overcome this. You guys hear me or no? I'm telling you, you gotta see it. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant, but I'm telling you, take it. So he raised up this guy, and he goes, I'm the Lord, verse 3. And I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. By my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Psalm 68, Jehovah. He's the Almighty God. But see, He's not just the Almighty God who's up there, where heaven's perfect, and He's got mighty angels, and they all do His will, but we're stuck on earth, and our enemies are too strong, and we can't overcome them. No, 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 no. Yes, He is the Almighty God, but He comes down to make covenant with His people, to give breakthrough unto victory and draw people unto Himself, so that not only can they have victory, but they can abide in His peace. Yod, hey, vow, hey. Yod. Yah. His name is Yah. You know when, as a man, you bench press, I don't bench press anymore, but when I used to be strong, kind of, and you bench press, you go, Yah. You know, like, that's His name, is Yah. You go, you're making this stuff up. Look at, Psalm 68, verse 4. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name, extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him. Now you say, it says Jah, yeah, but I mean, they didn't actually have J's in Hebrew, so it was actually Yah. His name is Yah. You know, like when you get victory, when you get breakthrough, and you went, Yah, that's the name of God. He came, Yah, to give breakthrough. Came victory. But then, hey, so you could breathe again. You know, one thing I found about people who are living in sin is they can't breathe deep. They can't settle their souls. They can't settle their hearts. Why? Because they don't know Him. Yeah. Hey. Vow. He's calling us into covenant. Vow. Hey. Remember in the beginning, God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ. Now look, I know we have a book, and praise God for a book, but when Jesus left the earth, He didn't give His disciples a book and say, here's a book, read it, study it, figure out, teach it. No, no, no. When He left His disciples, He breathed on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Ghost. They breathed it in. And now the same Spirit that's up there, the eternal Spirit that never fails, it's immutable, unchangeable, cannot die. The immutable, eternal Spirit. Now, it can be in you. Because He wants to give you breakthrough from the sin and the uncleanness and the enemy. And He wants to breathe into your soul new life by His Spirit so you can enter into that everlasting covenant. You can finally have peace in your soul. Amen? So Jesus Christ came to bring, He says, my name, but my name, Jehovah. Jehovah, I wasn't known. Yes, I'm almighty, but I'm coming down to give breakthrough unto victory. Make covenant with you. Look at Psalm 91. I think we'll wrap it up here. I don't want to go too long. I still got about halfway to go, but let's just go Psalm 91 here. It's a good place to wrap it up. Come on, the Most High, the Almighty, the exceeding great reward and great shield. Now He's come down. The I Am, all-sufficient Jehovah, He's come to breathe new life in His people. Watch this, Psalm 91. It's beautiful. Now, this was a psalm that was being quoted a lot during the COVID thing. And it's a wonderful psalm. Fortunately, I saw many people who didn't really know this God and didn't really obey His voice and thought they could hide behind the psalm, and it didn't work. God's not into enchantments. He's not into enchantments. You can't use the name of Jesus as like an enchantment that's going to then magically make things happen. That's not how it works. God's not an enchanter. So when Jesus talks about going in My name, doing miracles in My name, performing works in My name, preaching in My name, we talk about My name, He's not talking about I just do whatever I want and then I just throw the name Jesus on there. Look, there's a bunch of people we know that in the day of judgment are going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. We're going to all appear before His judgment seat. And they're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And they're going to go, Lord, Lord, we did all these wonderful works in Your name. We prophesied in Your name. We cast out devils in Your name. And He's going to go, depart from Me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. So using the name of Jesus as an enchantment, by the way, did you know that they teach witches and witch doctors to do that stuff? Satanists use the name of Jesus. They know there's power in the name, so let's use it like an enchantment to try to accomplish what we want to accomplish. That's not how this thing works. We're talking about name. You're talking about knowing Him and coming into Him. Okay? So watch this, Psalm 91. It's beautiful. This is David, prophetically it's Christ, but I'll also argue that prophetically everybody who comes in Christ, this is going to be true of us too. If you read Romans 16 carefully, see how Paul quotes it. So watch this. He says, verse 11, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And man, I'm telling you, He keeps you in all your ways when you're walking in Him. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Hallelujah. Watch this. Because He hath set His love upon Me, that's on God the Father, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known My name. He shall call upon Me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him My salvation. Listen. If you don't know His name, I'm not just saying you know the name Jesus, you can write it, you can write Jehovah, you call yourself a Jehovah's Witness. We're not talking about that. We're talking about those who really know Him. Those who really, they've set their love on Him. He is the love and desire of our heart. He is the joy and rejoicing of our heart. He is My affection. Those are the ones that God says that I will deliver and I will set on high. Those are the ones that when they call upon Me, I will answer. I'll be with those ones in trouble. I'll deliver them. I'll honor them. Notice the reward with long life. That's eternal life. Will I satisfy him and show him My salvation? There is no eternal life. There is no salvation. There's no deliverance. There's no lifting up unless you know His name. His name. Do you know His name? If you cried out to Him, if you called upon Him, seen Him come through, if you set your love on Him, the living God, said, I don't care about anything else. You can take it all, Lord. I just want to be with you. I just want to know you. You know what? God's no respecter of persons. Even in America, the Lord can call people to himself, give them victory over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He's no respecter of persons. Now look, I know the poor have an advantage on us. The poor have an advantage. I've been in Africa. Some of the most meekest, gentlest, patient, enduring people I've ever met. You'd just be amazed. You've never seen anything like it. Here, God help us. People are so impatient and hasty. And it's really not godly. It might appear to get you riches in the short term. But when we see the end of America, you'll see it doesn't work. The crown's not in America. It's still in England. Okay, we never inherited the crown. We're just like the prideful kid who grew up and ran off, did their own thing, and think we're going to make it, and we're going to be better than mom and dad. And you're not going to be better than mom and dad. You're not going to come close to what Britain accomplished. And these are just earthly nations. We're not even looking at the kingdom of God. No, no, no. No. So the poor have an advantage. But guess what? God can even save the rich who will realize it's not my clothes. It's not what's in my bank account. It's not what's in my house. It's you. And Lord, if I got to give it to this guy, if I got to give it to that guy, if I got to distribute, if I got to, I don't care, Lord. I just want to walk with you. I don't want this stuff to hold my heart anymore. I don't want these things to hold my heart. Remember, Jesus warned. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is just a rule of God. This is a rule of the spiritual realm. You got to understand this. Where your treasure is where your heart is. He didn't say the other way around. I used to think Jesus got it backwards. When I was young and arrogant, I used to read the Bible through my own understanding. And I'd try and twist and shift and change things. And I thought, man, Jesus, you know, I got this one backwards. He meant, where your heart is where your treasure is. No. Jesus is much wiser than us. He said, no, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So if your treasure is stored up in your things, if your treasure is stored up in your children, if your treasure is stored up in whatever, you can name it, whatever it is, then your heart's not with the Lord. Your heart's with those things. So Jesus Christ said, you want to follow me? If you love father, mother, husband, wife, child, son, daughter more than me, you can't follow me. You're not worthy of me. Can't do it. Why? Because you don't know who he is yet. You don't get it. If we knew who he was, then to give all my heart to my children would just be absolute foolishness. It doesn't even make sense. To give all my strength and energy to my house and my car and my things would just be absolute foolishness. It doesn't even make sense. If I knew who he was. But if I still don't know his name, then I might really think, no, my children are super important. I might think, oh, no, my life, my job, my career, my this, my that. But God said, there are people that he's going to deliver. And he's going to show his salvation to. And he's going to set them on high with himself. And those are the ones who know his name. Those are the ones who know, nah. God gives, God takes away. God can bless, God can strip. I can have a lot and I can have nothing. And I can be content in him because of who he is. My name. Amen. I got to read this last scripture. Don't flip it. Let me close with this and I'm done. Let's let the Lord speak and close this. Malachi chapter 1, here's what the Lord said. He's speaking to the priests of the nation of Israel. And he says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant honoreth his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And these people, they were offering the blind for sacrifice. They were offering the lame on the altar of God, they were saying, it's a drudgery to serve God. You know, it's just, the people who are living in the world, they're happy. The proud are happy. All this junk. And he's going, you've despised my name. And he says, verse 11, he says, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, but you profaned it. And that you say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even as meat, is contemptible. You said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus he brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? He says, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Listen. Leftover Christianity is not Christianity. It's actually following in the footsteps of Cain, the child of the devil, who's on his way to hell. Now, if you want to be like Abel, you offer the first. You offer the best. Why? Because you see who he is for who he is. And you go, it's all his anyways. He's worthy. He's a great king. I'm telling you, it's not a democracy. It's not a republic. It's not of the people. This is of him, the living God. Amen. Now let's pray. Lord, Father, please, we come before you. And we say, break us of any pride, Lord. Please, Lord, break us of any pride. Break us of any self-reliance or self-strength, Lord. Strip us, Lord, of any selfishness. Strip us of our ways, Lord. Lord, teach us thy way. Lead us in the way everlasting. Please, Father, unite our hearts to fear your name, and your name only. Father, raise up for yourself sons and daughters out of this place that will walk with you in white, and that you will call worthy. Sons and daughters who will call upon your name in the day of trouble, and you will deliver and show them great and mighty things. Sons and daughters who will stand in your strength and in your faithfulness and in your grace and will stand against the enemy in the day of evil. And he will flee from them because you stand with us and you stand in us. So please, God, I pray you to awaken hearts to righteousness. Pray you to awaken people to the Spirit of the living God. Let us worship the gods of the world and the gods of the heathen and the gods of the people no more. Let us worship you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. God, let this become a reality, Lord, by your grace. This is only of you. It's only by you. This isn't something we can make happen, Lord. We're dependent upon you, for you are faithful and true. Bless your people, but above all, Lord, bless your name. Bless your name. Let your name shine to the ends of the earth, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you are our shield and our great reward and that you will win in the day of evil, Lord. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.